upper 30s for the rest of next week. Adam Lepp reporting for The Talking Place.
Good afternoon. This is Pastor Craig, and this is Study His Word. And thank you for sticking around and listening this afternoon. As you know, on this Study His Word, I sometimes talk about news stories that the major media doesn't carry that or relate to Christians. I've done a little bit of Bible study. And the primary focus on this, and we've had some good people in the past, is I like to bring you Christians who are impacting culture, and especially Christians impacting culture here in Marion, in Marion area. So it's my pleasure today to have Amy Orr Parker, and she is the founder and director of Luke 311 Ministries. So Amy, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
So, and probably, and a lot of people in Marion are familiar with the peanut butter jelly trucks. So why don't you tell us, those who aren't familiar, tell us a little bit about the peanut butter jelly trucks.
Okay, well, the peanut butter jelly truck is actually our second project of Luke 311 Ministries, but it's our most visible because we are out every day in town somewhere in our signed trucks that everyone knows is us, and we're playing a song really loud that calls everybody's attention. So what we do is we drive ice cream truck style around town playing the song, "It's peanut butter jelly time, peanut butter jelly time," and then our patrons hear the song, come running out into the street like they would an ice cream truck, and then we serve them a whole meal, a balanced, nutritious meal that contains a homemade peanut butter jelly sandwich that our volunteers make, chips that are always donated by by Wyandotte, a yogurt for some dairy, and a snack if we have a piece of candy or something like that, we like to include that, and then an applesauce or a piece of fresh fruit if we have that in the summertime.
And so this is every day?
Mm-hmm. Every day, at least one truck.
And so typically, on a typical day, how many of these meals would you hand out?
Each truck route runs about 65 sandwiches, and some days there's two trucks running at the same time, so that's 120, and then sometimes there's a third truck running, so then that would be 180, but most days it's 60. 2 days a week, we regularly have 120 going out.
Now, you do this 7 days a week?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So that's 7 days a week.
Yep.
So we're coming to the end of 2023. What are your numbers as far as the total number of meals you handed out this year?
36,120 sandwiches.
Say that again.
36,120.
Yeah. I mean, to me, that is totally amazing that in the course of a year, you're handing out 36,000 meals to the residents of Marion. So let me ask you this. You said that that was actually the second ministry or thing that your organization does. What is the first?
The first is a project called Lumpy Loads of Laundry. And the first few years, it was just a laundry detergent program where we recycle empty laundry detergent containers, refill them with our homemade laundry soap, and then give them to the food pantries, and they donate them out into the community for us, along with their food boxes or Leap In Ministries, Salvation Army, those kind of places, a community action. So they distribute the jugs for us, and then we recycle the empties. So people bring the empty containers and drop them off. We have a volunteer who does a little dumpster diving for us, and we have quite a few places around town who have baskets or boxes where the people can bring and donate their empty containers. So that was our inaugural project. That was our very first project of all. This year, we expanded that project to include two more legs, which one is a mobile laundry service. So disabled people who are mobility disabled and live alone can benefit from our mobile laundry service, where we go get their dirty laundry, wash it and dry it, and take it back for them. And then we also have a free laundromat program now where we can host a laundromat event where if we have a corporate sponsor, my staff will go in and host the event and facilitate washing everyone's clothes. So we serve about 31 people, up to about 40. Every time we do one of those, we did 5 this year, and we are funded for 8 more for this coming year. So we're excited about the growth of our laundry program this year. Our laundry detergent program actually doubled for the second year in a row. So our first year was around 500, our second year was around 1,000, and this year we exceeded 2,000.
Wow, that's great.
So that's exciting for us.
So we want to go back to the very beginning. Obviously, I'd like to hear about, you know, the beginnings of Luke 3:11 Ministries, but that's not going back to the beginning. To go back to the beginning, what is your testimony that you would like to share with us about how you came to know the Lord?
I'm the daughter of a Baptist minister, so I was raised in church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night for services, Tuesday and Thursday nights for visitation, and then often Friday nights for community meals, and then youth group. Those years were another day in church, so to say I grew up in church would be an understatement. But then I grew up and started working in the real world and didn't attend church at that same extreme level as the family member of a staff member. So I was a Sunday type of church member for a number of years, but I was always interested in doing service projects. So when my daughter was little, we would always do many service projects. We would make something, auction it off, and donate the money to charity, those kind of things. So I was always interested in doing something new. I like to learn new things. I like to create things a lot. So I'm always looking for something new that I can create. So one time I was working with a church and challenging the congregation to do a service project, and mine was the Lumpy Loads of Laundry Detergent Project. And the other members of the congregation also did their own projects, and those were wonderful too. But I carried mine on, and my goal was 50, and then I had enough jugs that I could do 100 because my friends kept bringing me empty jugs, so I just kept going. And then I honed the process down to where it just became very simple. So I thought, well, I can do something else now. I'm a little bored with this. Let me add something to it. So that's when the peanut butter jelly truck came about. I was interested in hosting a community meal. I wasn't having any luck finding funding or a location to host it. I was very concerned about the areas of town that don't have access within walking distance to the prepared meals that many of the churches host, or to the food pantries where they could get food to serve themselves. So I was very concerned about the people falling through the gaps in the available services. So I wanted to host a meal, couldn't find any luck getting that going, and just I was kind of exasperated one evening, and I said, what am I going to have to do? Drive around in an ice cream truck and serve peanut butter and jellies?
Yes.
And that's what God said. God said, yep, there it is. You're finally listening, Amy. So Brock is such a good sport for indulging all of my crazy ideas. We took a wild and crazy trip to Cleveland to an ice cream truck junkyard. And this guy pieced together a 1978 antique ice cream truck. He like pulled the engine from one and pulled another part from another, and it took him 4 hours to put together a functioning ice cream truck that was really just barely functioning. And then we drove it back here to Marion. It was the scariest drive of Brock's life, he said. The headlights didn't work, the steering didn't work well, the brakes weren't very good. Oh, it was terrifying.
And
but
it's a good thing it wasn't raining because the windshield wipers.
We're pretty sure our guardian angels basically carried that truck back from Cleveland. And then Trey Rivers, the paint shop, the auto body paint shop in Trey Rivers, needed something to practice on, and this truck was just a rusty bucket of bolts. So they took it in, and patched it all up and did a whole lot of welding and a whole lot of body work and painted it nice and red and gave it back to us about 2 or 3 weeks before the pandemic started. So we didn't have signage officially up yet, but we were operational in that we had the sound machine and we had the song and, excuse me, we were ready to roll. And we had done a few test runs where Brock and I went to the park around the corner and I had a few loaves of bread and a big roll of butcher paper and some peanut butter and jelly, and the kids would come up and be like, "What's this?" And then I'd say, "Hey, you want a peanut butter and jelly sandwich?" And at first they were like, "No way." And then they were like, "Well, we kind of know you. You're the lady who lives around the corner." So I started just feeding them that way. And then the pandemic hit, and all of these families in Marion are used to their kids getting breakfast at school, lunch at school, sometimes a snack depending on their age, and sometimes an after-school snack or meal depending on if they're at school after school for other activities. So these families were counting on their kids getting all of those meals at school and hadn't planned their grocery budget to allow for 2 weeks of a shutdown where they weren't going to be at school.
And then it ended up being more than 2 weeks. You know, it was 2 weeks, but then it turned into more.
Yeah, and it, you know, some of these families have multiple kids, so like that was an emergency situation, and we were uniquely positioned to meet that need because we could drive around safely in open air, do a handoff of a meal to somebody with 3 seconds, very quickly in the open air. It was very safe. So we were uniquely positioned to do this. So my daughter and I started making sandwiches every day. And at first it was about 2 loaves that we were distributing and then a couple more loaves. And then we hit Marion Crime Chronicles and someone said, "Who are these creepy people driving around playing the Peanut Butter Jelly Time song?" And we thought, oh no, this is the end of our efforts right here because this can be a very critical group. But we were so surprised that all of our neighbors that we don't know, but all the people who live on our street said, "Oh, we know them. They're cool. It's fine. They're safe. They're an elderly couple," which kind of cracked me up because I wasn't even 50 yet when that was written about me. But the people who live nearby us vouched for us, said it's fine. There was no more drama after that. We continued to run. My daughter and I were making about 40 or 45 sandwiches every day, and we were starting to get a little tired. So I put a post on my Facebook page, and I asked my friends, "Hey, does anybody want to help me make sandwiches for a day?" Before I knew it, I had 2 weeks booked up of my friends making sandwiches for us to run. So we would run them out every night. We run as soon as school lets out, usually, but at that time, we just kind of stuck around that same time when I got off work. So it was about 3:30 or 4 o'clock, and then we would run around, play our song, and pass out the sandwiches at first. Then people started dropping off snacks, like chips and things like that. Someone brought a whole bunch of bananas one time, like just bunches and bunches of bananas, boxes of oranges. People just started bringing by things to include in the meals. So this was all based on Facebook because during that time, you know, we were all super engaged on social media because we were not able to get together in person. So our friends, our personal friends from real life started pitching in. And before we knew it, it was full meals. We were running every day based on sandwiches someone else was making for us. And we thought, well, we better hurry up and get our 501c3 if people are going to be donating. We had already registered as a nonprofit a while before that, but we hurried up at that point when it looked like people were going to be donating things, and we got our 501c3 through the IRS. And we expanded our board to an independent board of directors. At first, it was just Brock, me, and our daughter, and now we have an independent board of directors. So at that point, we started becoming a little bit more official, and I implemented a sandwich scheduling system, which I think has been the key to our success. So it's an online scheduler where people go look at the calendar, choose the day that they want to volunteer click on it, they get to watch a video that explains where to come to pick up their supplies, what they need to purchase, when to do it, where to go, gives them all the information in a video, and then the link has the information in writing too. Excuse me. So people can choose their own days. I build a couple months out, so that way I know how many routes we're running at any given time. And it's crazy, but well, this year, 82 different groups made sandwiches for the whole year. So that tells you there's a lot of repeats in there, but 66 of those are individuals and 16 of them are groups. We have found that a lot of nonprofits are using our work as programming for their work. So it's really exciting for me to get to see our work doing a double duty where their work is feeding somebody, but the actual work itself is a provision for another group, such as the Goodwill. They do it for their work program.
When it was getting big, and you mentioned that, you know, you have the online where a person can click on the online. Did you do that from scratch, or did you say, I need a program, and went searching for one? Or
I reached out to my friend who is donating our web hosting, and I said, do you know of anything that will help me do this, or do I need to build something from scratch? And he said, no, try this. He just gave me a link to a service that I can do. So that's been so well worth it. It books up 2 months in advance. I bet if I opened up May, it would book right up. But I don't know how many drivers I'll have at that point. You know, the drivers, sometimes we have more, sometimes we have less. So I like to keep it kind of current. That's been the most exciting thing, is seeing how other agencies use this work to further their goals too. So it's like a double whammy. It's really exciting for me.
Now, you mentioned that... you have at least one truck out every day, and sometimes you have two trucks that have routes. So which parts of Marion are you directly, where are the trucks going?
So we have 9 active teams. Each team has their own little beat. So each team, it's all a lower income, higher need area where we'll find kids playing in the lawns, or where we'll find people living in abandoned houses, or worse, in tents, in yards, those kind of things. So it's always in those kind of areas, and each team has their own area. So Brock and I cover the area near the fairgrounds, and then another team covers the far west side, and another team covers the far east side. And there's a map on the wall at our headquarters, and then they all circle their territory, so that way we don't overlap too much. Mm-hmm. And then if someone says, all of our people seem to have moved out, or we're having trouble finding kids, then they can look and see an area that's underserved and then cover that area.
And yes, in Marion, Ohio, there are people living in abandoned houses, and there are people living in tents.
And worse, there are people living in dugouts and in their cars. Mm-hmm. My friend Devin at the homeless shelter says there's between 40 and 60 any given day. He has to count them every month, so he kind of has his thumb on that.
So you have volunteers that make the sandwiches or make the whole lunch up?
Both.
Okay.
The sandwich makers make the sandwich. They come and get the peanut butter, jelly, baggies, hairnets, gloves, masks, all of those things. They buy the bread. They put the sandwiches together, drop them back off, and then the driving teams pick up the sandwiches, assemble the meals with all the other components into the bags, and then they take them out and distribute them.
So typically for like someone who is a volunteer on your driving team, how much time does that require on a given day?
An hour and a half or less. Okay. In the summer, it goes very fast because everyone's windows are open, the kids are outside playing, it doesn't take long. In the winter, it's a little longer because they don't hear us as well, so we have to drive a little more. So I would say an hour and a half is the average.
And you've never had a time where you had no bread, you had no peanut butter to make up sandwiches?
We have thought that there would be those times, And then God does his thing where someone shows up and says, I thought it was my day, but it wasn't. And here's some sandwiches. Can you use them? That's happened more times than we can count. Or one time someone, I said, can you help with sandwiches? I had a snafu. And she said, oh, I have a batch in the freezer just waiting for you to say that. So,
isn't it amazing?
God has prepared prepared not all our way, not only in that, but like our big red truck doesn't start until I start praying. So most days I think, oh, it's not going to start, and then I start praying and then it starts. So yeah, that thing runs on prayer. But there have been so many times that we've run out with exactly enough to finish a route, or exactly enough to finish so many meals, or the coincidences are too great to ignore that they are God's sign that he is part of the work.
That's great. So now let's shift a little bit. You talked about Lumpy Loads of Laundry and how that has kind of progressed. Can you go into a little bit more detail, like, for instance, what you need volunteers to do?
So for the laundry program, well, first of all, a lot of my volunteers cross over and do both, do tasks in both. I think the thing I'm most proud of this year is my volunteer base doubled. I had 22 at the end of last year and 41 at the end of this year. So I have so many volunteers who do a little piece of this, a little piece of that, but the work is broken up into tasks so that people can very easily do the work without any direction or supervision. They will get the code to the headquarters. They just let themselves in. They can do the work there. So that's one thing that we could take more volunteers for, is the production of the laundry detergent, where people could come to our headquarters, make the detergent, cook it up on our stove, use our food processor to chop up the soap, use our fancy electric drywall mixer to stir it up. So we our headquarters is pretty well outfitted. Brock has set us up with a big old hose coming from the bathroom. So we are well set up to mass produce. We do 11 5-gallon buckets at a time. So that's something that if someone has 2 hours here and there, they could sign up to come do that. I have a couple different teams who come use the headquarters, and I have two remote teams who make detergent too. Market Industries goes every week to the board of DD and uses their kitchen and makes the detergent for us. And then another young adult who served by the board of DD has a station at her house, and she and her family generate it for us too. So we have quite a few different people with their hands in the detergent now. So that's one thing they could do. People could volunteer to do the mobile laundry, where they go get the dirty laundry from somebody. That's where they sign up. They tell me, okay, I have 3 hours, Tuesday at 4 o'clock. So then I will call the people we serve and say, hey, do you want Tuesday at 4 o'clock? And then they either say yes or no. If they say no, I move on to the next in line and offer that time until everybody is scheduled. So anybody who has a couple of hours, and I ask for a 3-times-a-month commitment for that one, because we do have to put them on our auto insurance, and there are costs associated with that. So I ask for a 3-time-a-month commitment for that, and that's usually 3.5 hours, because they have to wash the clothes, dry the clothes, and return them. But they use our bug-proof van. We have special, they wear aprons and gloves, and we transport the clothes in bags, so there's no chance of cross-contamination. We always return everything completely bug-free and clean and ready for a fresh start. We have special treatment methods to handle that, so we don't have to turn anybody away, no matter what the condition the clothes are in. We can take care of that. DJ Bug Away provides us with expert guidance on how to manage those things. So we could have volunteers for that. Some of them make the detergent while they're waiting for the clothes to wash or dry. One cleans my headquarters for me. Another one does, she puts together the kits for the sandwich makers during the in-between times. And then some of them run errands. You know, they take care of business, play on their phone, watch fun videos, those kind of things. So it's very, very flexible. So that's another thing. And then our laundromat events, we could always use more hands at those events too.
Because you said you have eight scheduled for next year.
We do. We have funding from one of the VFWs and the Marin Community Foundation together. I have 8 monthly ones. And Colonial Coin Laundries, who partners with us for that, he matches our washes with the dry. He pays for the dries.
Yeah. So I saw a couple pictures on Facebook of you holding the big checks from your sponsors.
Yes.
No one's ever given me a big check like that.
I had it laminated so it's dry erase. I could just erase it and reuse it every time I get a big one to celebrate. And boy, the veterans need celebrating this year. Yeah. They have put in 40% of our funding for this and next year.
That's
so
great.
It's their support. It's worth mentioning every chance I get. Big check.
So at this would be a good time. If someone, listening, this kind of piques their interest and they feel that maybe they might want to volunteer. Obviously, you will provide any and all training that they need.
Oh, yes.
So what is the best way for someone to get a hold of you and say, hey, I may be interested in volunteering?
Well, I manage our social media and email accounts, so all pathways lead to Amy. You can go to our website. That's Luke311Ministries.org, and the send a message button sends an email that I will receive. If you go to the Lumpy Loads of Laundry Facebook page or the Peanut Butter Jelly Facebook page and use the Messenger link from there, those both also go to me. So either of those ways, all three of those ways go straight to me. We also have email. It's Luke311Ministries@yahoo.com. So that's another very easy way. And then we are located on Ballantyne Avenue. So if anyone's interested, I can give a tour, a little walking tour of our operations, explain the different roles, explain the things that are needed, give people a feel for what the work will entail.
Okay. Now, you said that the peanut butter jelly truck, that kind of happened right before COVID.
Mm-hmm.
But you were already doing the Lumpy Loads of Laundry. So when did that start, the Lumpy Loads of Laundry?
February 2019.
Okay.
And then the truck was October 2019.
Okay. And at any time in 19 or 20, did you imagine it would grow to what it is today?
I had no idea. No, I had no idea. I really thought it would just be, I'm the crazy old neighbor lady feeding the kids at the park around the corner. I just really thought it would be very small, Brock and I having a little bit of fun. I had no idea.
My experience has been when people start something like this, you know that the Lord is in it when it takes off the way it does. If it stays small like that, if you were just those old people, crazy people in the neighborhood, and it never grew, then the Lord's probably not in it. But, like I said, my experience has been every time that when he's in it, it always turns out bigger than what we ever imagined. And really, it turns out bigger than even we could fantasize. I know lots of times, we kind of have a goal, what it should be, and we maybe sometimes sit in our chair and dream about what it's going to be, but it seems like he always does it better.
I feel like the success is an indicator of his approval. So I try to take this success as, okay, let me examine what I'm doing and make sure I do more of it, because this is definitely meeting God's approval. So I want to make sure that I keep including all of the people that I'm including. I want to keep serving all of the people I'm serving. Keep, boundaries exactly the way that I'm doing them. So I feel like the success is something I should recognize so that I can apply it to continuing and growing, but growing in the same way that he wants me to go.
Yeah. So now, if there was somebody out there who was maybe they're a shut-in, and they could use your mobile laundry service, what is the best way for them to get a hold of you?
So that is a very limited opportunity for us. So we have just a few slots per week that we can offer, so we have to keep that very, very, very close. So we do that through referral by an agency who can vouch that the person who's applying lives alone and they are mobility disabled. So that means either they are wheelchair bound or bound by a walker, or they are served by the Board of DD, therefore can't drive. So we have to serve the people who absolutely have no other way to get to a laundromat and take care of business. So the Community Action can refer, hospice can refer, basically any agency that is already linked up and serving somebody who can vouch that they meet our criteria can refer them to us. We just can't take self-referrals, or we would be doing everybody's grandma's laundry in town.
And obviously those agencies know you and know what you're doing.
Right.
So when they have somebody that meets the criteria, they right. already know where they can refer them to.
Yeah, about half of our patrons that we serve are served by the Board of DD.
Okay.
So it's the most needy that we're serving in that case.
So yeah. And then on the flip side of that, is that probably the area that you're most in need of volunteers?
If we have more volunteers, we could relax the criteria. So there, it's unlimited as far as how much that can grow. We would just have to be careful to relax the criteria proportionate to the increase in volunteer time.
Yeah. So I know I'm jumping around. You have one peanut butter jelly truck. No, you have two. No, you have three. You have five.
Yes.
Help me out.
Five. We have one laundry truck and four peanut butter jelly trucks.
Okay, so four peanut butter jelly trucks.
One of the peanut butter jelly trucks, though, is benched because it's a giant box truck. So we just use that for big events or if we have to pick up chips from Wyandotte, those kind of things. And then three are road ready right now.
So, and you always have one and possibly two on the road every day.
Mm-hmm.
So
yep.
In a way, you also have a kind of a backup if something happens.
Oh, yes. Yep. So Brock and I drive the big red antique, and then the other two are wrapped with our logo, the Banana Man, shouting free. They match. Two Honda Odysseys with bright yellow shelves.
Okay. So you mentioned a truck that if you do big events. So obviously you've done big events. So what kind of big events have you done?
So Brock and I take Big Red around. We've been invited all 3 years. We've been in operation to the National Night Out with the first responders. We've done the Christmas parade both years. We've done the Popcorn Festival parade. Those are really rewarding. Those are very fun. Let's see. We've done some drive-through events in coordination with some other nonprofits in town when they're having a drive-through event. We have gone to do that. And the big white one we would reserve for when that little girl in Kenton was kidnapped. We were ready to take the big white one the next morning over to feed all of the searchers because they were having an organized search party. So we had that one ready to roll. For that, we were going to take a truckload over of people to put together food and feed the volunteers. But thankfully, she was found, so it wasn't necessary. But that's what we would use that one for. And we took a truckload of water over to East Palestine when they had their tragedy, and we weighed that van down. And then it was so hilly going over there. So that the next time we do something like that, we're going to use the big white one for that, too. But the people in Marion, we put out a Facebook post that said, hey, we're leaving at noon tomorrow. I gave them like maybe 15 hours notice. And we had that truck filled. Not another bottle could fit in that truck.
Wow.
People just were bringing over pallets full of water to take over there. So the big white one there's plenty of need for it. We just didn't use the right one for that event.
But I think probably many people didn't realize that you have done like that.
We are lucky to have a wonderful social media following full of Marion's finest and most generous people who jump into action whenever we need anything or whenever we have the honor to facilitate something for some other groups. So we'll mobilize our fans when when it's appropriate.
So people can follow you on Facebook. Mm-hmm. You have a Facebook page,
yep.
Peanut Butter Jelly Truck.
Yep.
And you have a Facebook page,
Lumpy Loads of Laundry. Yep.
So people can follow that. That way, if you do have special things coming up, mm-hmm. like what happened in East Palestine, mm-hmm. they can right. It's great. So you said you were in, you had your big, the other big truck in the Marion Christmas parade?
Yes.
Were you handing out sandwiches?
One year we didn't. Felt bad because they were wanted. The next year we brought them. No one wanted them. And then we didn't take any for Christmas. And then a busload of kids wanted some. So we can't win.
So next time, are you going to take sandwiches?
Yes.
So at this point, I'm sure there's probably something that you would like to say or something that I haven't covered yet with my questions.
Well, I suppose it's important that people know that all of this work is done by amazing volunteers. None of us are paid. Everybody is volunteer, and there's 41 of them who did all this work this year. So it's very exciting to me to see all of these people working together to do the work that aligns with the teachings of Jesus, whether they mean to or not. I just love that all of these people are working together to do good work to help their neighbors to spread the love. It's very exciting for me. I love that.
And Luke 311 Ministries is your name.
Mm-hmm.
And for those who aren't aware, what does it say in Luke 311?
Well, that's the story in the Bible where some people had asked John the Baptist if getting baptized was all they needed to do to show repentance from their sins. And John the Baptist said, no, no, no. If you have extra clothes, you should share with one who has none. And if you have extra food, you should do the same. And we thought, okay, yeah, those are two really good things. They kind of go together really well with the clothing and the food that we are interested in. So we chose that as our umbrella name. But we're not limited to just clothing and food, although right now that's what we're focused on. But any work that aligns with the teachings of Jesus is within our scope. So,
do you have any plans or are you working on anything? You know, you've got the peanut butter jelly trucks. You've got the lumpy loads of laundry. Do you have kind of like a third arm of the ministry that maybe you're working towards? Or you have a vision that that's an area you would want to attack?
Yes, but I'm not going to let myself do it until I retire from my paying job. So I have either 2 or 7 more years. Then when I retire, I will blow this up. But for now, I'm still growing. We are learning how to make bleach, homemade bleach right now. So we are practicing with that. I need to use a test kit and test the strength because I spilled some on my jeans and it didn't ruin them. So I don't think I have the strength quite right. But right now we are working on homemade bleach. We're going to supply the dog shelter and the cat sanctuary and the Humane Society with the bleach once we can confirm that we have the recipe right. And then if it's used successfully for cleaning for a few years, then we'll expand it and start letting people use that for laundry and distributing it with our soap. But for now, we're just working on the recipe. We're in development.
And you did mention that you also work a full-time job.
I do. Yes, I do.
Do you have volunteers from your work that are volunteering with you?
Believe it or not, yes. And I work downtown Columbus, so my coworkers are from hours away. But when we did the drive-through MRDD drive-through trick-or-treat event, and it was all my coworkers who were dressed up. We were the Peanuts in the gang, and we all were one of the Peanuts characters. And those were all my coworkers with me. So, yeah, I have great support. But I work in the Office of Nutrition at the Department of Education and Workforce, so my coworkers are very passionate about food insecurity as well as me. So
yeah.
Their interests are aligned.
Yeah. Now, did the name, like how early on did you like say, well, you know, this is kind of growing into something. It needs to have a name and I need to, you know, be a nonprofit. At what point did you start having those thoughts?
November 2019 when we started the peanut butter jelly truck dreaming because we knew we would be at risk for being sued because we would be feeding people.
Right.
So we needed to...
You're just a strange people on the street that are feeding kids. My kids have been told not to accept food from strangers.
Except in Marion. There's a big exception here for that. But yeah, that's when we knew we would need legal separation, that's when we became official.
Okay. And so it really wasn't that hard as far as thinking of the name either.
No, it wasn't really that hard. I just basically Google searched I did some sort of Google search for the two values that I was interested in and Bible verses that talked about them and just read them all until the one clicked.
If you don't mind me asking, is your father still alive?
Yes, yes.
So what does he think about what his daughter has done?
According to my mom, he can't shut up about it, and he talks about it to everybody, and he uses it as an example in all of his sermons. So I think he's pretty proud. I don't know if all of the people listening to his sermons are sick of hearing about it or not.
Now, I have to confess that I'm new to the Marion area. So is your father currently preaching in Marion here?
No. Okay. He's in Morrow County.
Oh, that's where I come from.
Oh, what? Southview Baptist Church in Galleon.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay. All right. I know where that is. As a matter of fact, I spoke there once.
It's okay. A small world.
Yeah. Yes, I actually did. I did speak there one time. Southview Baptist. Wow, that's interesting. Yeah, it's a small world. So again, we've got about 8 minutes left, and I want to make sure that you have a chance to cover anything that maybe you wanted to cover, because I know you came here with some notes.
Can I give a shout out to our in-kind partners?
Oh, sure. Absolutely.
So our expenses are reduced by 55% because of in-kind gifts that we receive. Wyandotte donates every bag of chips that we serve. Romans 12 pays for our web hosting. DJ Bugaway comes every month and does pest control treatments to keep our stockpile fresh and safe. And they also provide expert advice for the laundry program. T. Beanie Solutions automatically comes and plows the snow so our trucks can get out just as soon as the sidewalks are clear. Country Road Farms donates apples and pears every summer. Lane Automotive donates the labor for all of our fleet repairs, and at least one is always needing something. And then Peanut Butter Jelly Collections. So churches and businesses and other nonprofits will host collections and say, hey, everybody, bring in a jar of peanut butter and jelly for this. And then they bring it. All of our peanut butter and jelly comes that way. We don't budget for any peanut butter and jelly. So all of those things together make up 55% of our expenses. So that's significant that the groups that do that with the collections and then all of those other ones who provide the specialty services, they're just so appreciated. And then this year, the veterans organizations have stepped into the picture. VFW Garen Thomas, post 3313, and VFW Stephen Cheney, post 7201, and American Legion Bird McGinnis, post 162, and American Legion Harold Bradley, post 584, and the Vietnam Veterans of America, chapter 1117. All of them together have provided 40% of this and next year's funding. So they have jumped into the picture in a really big way, and I thought all year my goal for the year was I need to come up with an annual fundraiser, like a gala, but not a gala, like a sale, but not a sale. I just couldn't land on the right thing. And while I'm still chewing on it, all these veterans have stepped in and taken care of it. So I still haven't landed on the right thing, but God has provided through all of these veterans. So that was so unexpected and so badly needed. So grateful to the veterans and just to my volunteers, my 41 volunteers and my four volunteer leaders that have emerged this year. Lindsay Morgan, Shasta McDowell, Sandy Green, and Dwayne Stolfus have all emerged as leaders who can be backups for Brock and I and do all the work without us if need be. So we're grateful.
That's interesting. Now I know something. I got a like I put on my Facebook page yesterday that you were going to be here today, and the first person that gave me a like was Dwayne Stolfus.
I told him I was coming on here Wednesday night.
Well, I hope you're listening, Dwayne.
Hi, Dwayne.
Now, also, too, like, okay, somebody may be sitting out there listening that they really don't have the time or they don't think they can, but maybe they can just donate their empty laundry detergent thing.
Yep, absolutely.
So where would a person take those if they, you know, saved up, you know, half a dozen and then they had those empty laundry detergent things and they wanted to donate them to you?
So our headquarters is at 503 Ballantyne. We have a receptacle there. In the mall at Black Hawk Entertainment, they have a receptacle there. Marian Christian Center has a big receptacle, and they're open business hours, so that's an easy one for people to get to. And anybody can put a box together and put a sign on a box and collect them from their coworkers too. So,
and you probably have people that do that.
We have quite a few people who do that. Yeah.
So, and then is there anything else that a person could donate if they didn't feel they had a time? If they didn't feel they had a time to be a volunteer, but they wanted to donate in some way.
Well, our Amazon wish list is an easy way for people to say, oh, I want to donate baggies for a day's route, or, oh, I want to donate peanut butter and jelly or brown bags or anything like that. Our Amazon wish list is an easy way for people to donate items. They can find the link for that on our webpage or either Facebook page. So that's plastered all over the place. And people can participate financially too. Just because we don't have salaries doesn't mean we don't have expenses. So we have a fundraising.
You have vehicles.
Yes.
You
we
have
do.
Vehicles. You have expenses.
Our financial expenses outside of the in-kind gifts that we are hoping to receive will be about $40,000 for next year. So we're hoping for about $40,000 in fundraising this next year. So people can participate that way too. Venmo, PayPal, all the ways. The donate button on Facebook gets directly to us. Checks can be mailed, so any way works for us. We are banked up.
All right. Well, we've got about 2 minutes left, so why don't you run down again real quick the different ways people can follow you and the different ways people can contact you?
Okay. So the website is Luke311Ministries.org, and our two Facebook pages and Instagram are both Lumpy Loads of Laundry and Peanut Butter Jelly Truck. Email is Luke311Ministries@yahoo.com. And what was the other thing you wanted me to tell them?
Well, I think you covered it. It's ways that they could contact you.
Yes. And anybody who is interested in talking about a way to get involved can come meet me at the headquarters one day, and I can show you around and talk about it, and we can find something that fits. So.
Contact you first because
yeah.
you do work, and
yes.
you have some hours that you're available and a lot of hours you're not available.
That's right.
But you're more than welcome to have people come there.
Yeah, I love to give a little tour of the headquarters and show off our hard work, even when it's messy, because it's evidence that work is being done. So,
yeah. Well, that's great. That's great. Well, I want to thank you for coming today.
Thank you.
I really appreciate having you come. Like I said, you know, this show is about Christians who are impacting the culture, especially in the Marion area, and it's great having you here, because I'll be honest, I'm kind of new to Marion, and so I only found out about you by accident. I happened to be scrolling through Facebook, and when I was checking another person out, that's when I saw one of the things. I go, peanut butter jelly truck. But so I did a little digging and all that, and I said, wow, this is great. I got to have you guys on the radio. So appreciate you coming here.
Thank you. Thank you for the opportunity to share.
All right. Well, folks, I want to thank you for tuning in this afternoon. And I will be back next year, which is next Friday. I'll be here at 11 o'clock with What's Happening Marion. Then I'll be here at 12 with Scott and Matt for the Exchange Club. And then I'll be here at 1 o'clock for Study His Word. Coming up in January, I am going to have our House Representative Tracy Richardson here, so you won't want to miss that. Again, thank you for being here, and Happy New Year.
You're listening to The Talking Place. The legendary star of The Facts of Life, Charlotte Ray, Mrs. Garrett.